I think the worst advice I got was to trust everyone else's advice. The financials aren't going to be my strongest point. I'm not an accountant, and obviously, you're always going to listen to your bookkeeper or someone providing financial assistance, but they still don't know it all. They still don't know your business as thoroughly as you do. So while they may make recommendations based purely on finance, they don't know your customers. They don't know what you're capable of if you absolutely have to make a sale. So I think being 100% guided by someone else, even though it's their expertise, you've still just got to trust your gut instinct, because no one knows your business like you do.
TheWellnessCouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives. Download the app today.
Welcome to the Self Love Podcast, the show that helps crack open your heart and inspire a deeper regard for your own well-being and happiness. Proudly brought to you by 28 Essentials. Here's your host, the gorgeous Kim Morrison.
Welcome to the Self Love Podcast. This week, we have an extraordinary soul. When Alison Bell retired as a professional tennis player, she knew she wanted to pursue a career in either the fitness or health industries. She may have taken a while to get here, but now that she's arrived, she's completely in her element. After suffering from her own injuries during her sporting career and recovering from subsequent surgeries, Alison has a genuine understanding and appreciation of the importance of a speedy recovery. After being diagnosed and living with Hashimoto's disease, lupus, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, and a leaky gut, Alison truly understands what it is to be unwell and has found bone broth to be an integral part of her healing. In fact, she swears by it. Bone broth just works, she says. I've sipped it through many colds and flus and I'm still amazed at how quickly it can prevent that slightly off feeling from progressing to a full-blown illness. I feed it to my entire family when flu season hits. I've taken it for muscular aches and pains as well as joint injuries to help recovery. And of course, for the big kahuna, gut health. As we learn more about the gut and its microbiome, the more we realize how incredibly important its health is for not only physical ailments, but also mental health. Bone broth was the pharmaceutical before pharmaceuticals existed, and it's exciting to see it returning to everyone's diet. I know you're going to love this podcast. Alison is heavily involved in the preparation, cooking, and distribution of dehydrated bone broth. There she is, every step of the way from go to woe. She is there from produce selection to the bottling up stage to ensure that nothing but the best quality and nourishment goes into each and every jar. She also understands that there is no one-fix-all solution. Wellness comes from a change in mind, body, soul, and spirit. She is constantly educating herself with new ways to find optimal wellness in nutrition and lifestyle. This beautiful soul is an advocate for alternative therapies and practices meditation through sound healing and shamanic learning on a daily basis. I know you're going to love this week's podcast. Wait till you hear her little nuggets of gold in how to rise through challenge and her beautiful rituals that she's embraced in order to walk through every step of the way of each challenge. I cannot wait to hear what you think of this. If you log on to brothoflife.com.au, you will see there is a very special offering there as a pop-up for anyone that's never experienced or tried these beautiful products. You can also reach out to her at brothoflife.com.au, or you can also post your comments and feedback on my Instagram page, Kim Morrison number 28, Facebook, Kim Morrison Training, or head on over to thewellnesscouch.com/self-love podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you love this week's episode, please make sure you share it. Thank you for your continual 5-star rating, for showing up each and every week with me so I can bring beautiful guests like Alison to the show each and every week. Thank you for being on this ride. Thank you to our sponsors, The Wellness Couch and also 28 Essentials. And thank you to you, my beautiful listener, for being a part of this incredible ride with me. Take care, be kind, and enjoy today's show. Each and every week, I get the incredible opportunity to interview amazing people. And this week is a woman who I have been dying to get on the show. She has an incredible story. She's got incredible gifts. And she also knows what it's like to ride the highs and lows of life. Welcome to the Self Love Podcast, beautiful Alison Bell.
Hey, Kimmy, how are you doing?
It's so nice to have you with us. I've known you for a long number of years now. You and I have always had a very special connection, and it just means the world to me to have you on here sharing your story and who you are. Maybe before we get into all the work you're doing currently, would you mind taking us on a little journey as to where you're from? Who are you? What's been your journey to this point?
Oh, that's actually a huge question.
I knew you'd say that.
What have we got? background, right from the beginning, I somehow got involved in tennis as a professional athlete. It wasn't planned. I went to a tennis camp as a kid, like most kids do in school holidays, and things just snowballed. The coach approached my parents and just said, look, she's got something special. We need to do something with this. And things snowballed out of control. So by the age of 10, I was fully immersed in the world of tennis. Life progresses, injuries happen, tennis ended. What do I do with my life? I went and studied computer science, just randomly picked a subject I was good at school. I have to admit, I hated university. I hated the study world, but I was still quite good at it. So pursued a career in computer programming until I hit the point where that just was not what I was supposed to be doing. I wasn't enjoying it in the slightest. And then an opportunity came along to be involved in a company called Broth of Life. And I jumped. I threw myself in so hard. You climb, you fall, blood, sweat, tears, all of it. And that's where I am today. Not counting family, children, marriages, relationships that come, relationships that go, all the usual stuff of life.
I just think this is where, you know, the metaphor broth of life is your business has been almost like a metaphor for your life. You just said we jump in, it's exciting, we have setbacks, we hit walls, we go crazy, man, there's so many things associated where business and sport are such incredible. They have such similar trajectories to what we have in life. What would you say, is there anything in your humble opinion that you've learned in business and in sport, or has sport taught you how to handle business? Was there any correlation that you found for you personally?
Oh, definitely. Being an athlete definitely prepared me for being a business owner. The determination that is required is phenomenal. And something I refer to often is, if someone tells me I can't, that's someone else's limitation and I don't let it be mine. I need to assess that myself and really work that out for myself. You certainly take on everyone's advice and take on same in your athletic career. You've got your coach, you've got your psychologist, you've got your parents, you've got your nutritionist, you've got this whole team supporting you and advising you and guiding you. When it comes down to it, you're the only person on that tennis court. It's been known as the loneliest sport on the planet, because even in boxing, you've got someone in the corner at the end of a round to talk to. And tennis, you weren't, I know rules have recently changed, but you weren't allowed to speak to a single person, not even your opponent, not the umpire, no one. And so that could be 3 hours of just intense solitude to make every decision, which can mean whether you're getting paid that night and can afford to eat dinner or not. Because when you're starting out, it's that tough. It is not a glorious sport by any stretch of the imagination. And I think owning your own business is very similar to that. You know, there's moments where you've got nothing in the bank and you wonder why you're doing it, and you're not sure what you need to change or what direction, and you've got plenty of people that can give you advice, but none of them are actually living it. And until you're living it, you don't know, and you need to trust that inner knowledge on what's right or wrong.
Well, I think you're quite a deeply sensitive soul, someone who takes words to heart. It means a lot. I also think you're someone who's always open to other people's opinions and advice. What would you say has been the best advice you've taken from a business point of view, and how, or maybe even the worst as well, and how that either one has impacted you in the decisions that you've made moving forward?
Ooh, that's a big question. I think the worst advice I got was to trust everyone else's advice. The financials aren't going to be my strongest point. I'm not an accountant, and obviously you're always going to listen to your bookkeeper or someone providing financial assistance. But they still don't know it all. They still don't know your business as thoroughly as you do. So while they may make recommendations based purely on finance, they don't know your customers. They don't know what you're capable of if you absolutely have to make a sale. So I think being 100% guided by someone else, even though it's their expertise, you've still just got to trust your gut instinct, because no one knows your business like you do.
Oh, this is interesting. And there's no accident that you just said, trust your gut.
I didn't even think about that.
When you think about that, and here you are in a business that heals people's guts, that actually helps people thrive rather than just survive. Tell me a little bit about the story as to how and why you got into Broth of Life. Why did that appeal to you so much? And give us a little background as to the business.
Yeah, look, I had twin boys who had a lot of health issues, one more so than the other. He had a lot of severe behavioural problems. I was advised after many parenting courses and many mainstream doctors that he would never attend mainstream school, that he needed Ritalin, and this is at the age of two. I wasn't comfortable with that. So I was very much in the mainstream everything of life. My tennis background had taken me down that path. But I just wasn't comfortable with this for a two-year-old boy, and there just had to be some sort of solution that wasn't drugs. And that's when I started down a path of finding holistic doctors and different types of medicine and trial and error and so many failures before you finally found some success, and really found a lot of the root cause of his problems were coming from his gut. So our life got turned upside down, and that would be about the time we also found Cindy. And I just went to one presentation she did, and something just went ba-ding. My God, what food are we eating? I didn't grow up eating this food. Why are we having so many troubles? And it went down a very, very, very strict elimination path with him to recover his health. So there was no sugar, no fillers, no additives, no numbers, no nothing that wasn't made from scratch. So even if I was going to give him a rice cracker, it was going to be one that I've made myself. It really went down to bare essentials. And to be honest, no one can be bothered making many rice crackers. So he didn't have many. it was a long, hard slog to get him to health, to be at the point where he could go to school, because he was quite physically violent. And if you met him today, you would never, ever, ever pick that. He's a beautiful, sensitive soul. He's at mainstream school and absolutely thriving as a straight A student. He's going great. He's quirky, absolutely, but he is thriving. So it was well worth it. So we were already on a path of completely and utterly changing his health through diet. And I was cooking bone broth, following that kind of lifestyle, implementing a GAPS diet for him. And I'd love to say Broth of Life was my idea, but it wasn't. It was a lovely, another beautiful lady who we purchased the business from. When she said she was going to sell the business, I was in the kitchen, I overheard the conversation, and I was like, jump, I want to leave IT. I don't want to be doing this anymore. This suits what I'm doing in the kitchen already. I want to dive into this. So it was a big, big, big change from computer science and sitting on my bottom all day, you know, programming, to suddenly being in a kitchen all day, cooking broth and dehydrating it and learning a huge amount of about the food industry and how much more I even don't like it, and learning about the organic industry and even the flaws and loopholes there. So a big learning curve, but that was the main reason for diving in. It was my son's health and then became my health because I had completely given up my whole self to fixing him, as so many parents and mothers do.
Yeah, it's actually a really big topic, this. And one thing that I really want to just say, why I admire you so wholeheartedly, is it's easy for us to put a child or any of us on medication. It's easier to pop a pill or to be told to just do this and hope that the body can do what it does. What do you think was the main difference for you thinking about that little two-year-old boy? Why did you think personally Ritalin wasn't going to cut it?
I think it probably would have cut it, but I still think it's a Band-Aid fix. What was causing this in the first place? I think I've always needed to know why. I'm a why girl. But why? But why? But why? And not a single doctor could tell me why. They were just saying, just do this. I'm like, yeah, but why do that? Give me the reason other than it will calm him down. I know it will calm him down, but why is he like this in the first place? And no one could answer that. You know, they weren't saying it was a mental condition. They weren't diagnosing him. You know, he did eventually get a diagnosis, but I refused to put a label on him either. So I've never used that label. I've never put him in any category other than quirky.
When you think about him now, how old is he? They're both
14.
14. I've watched them grow. I've seen them from when they were little boys through to this moment. And even from my outside view looking in, I couldn't tell you there was anything, I don't know if the word wrong is the right word, but that there was a problem.
Yep.
So when you started to see or use broth and look at the healing his gut, which they say now is the bigger brain than the brain itself, what do you think? How long did it take? Because this is where patience, resilience, determination, and perseverance is so powerful for parents of children that need healing. How long did it take before you saw a change? What was the thing that kept you going? Because I can't imagine it was always easy.
Oh, it certainly wasn't easy. You've got a child that's been having mainstream food and you've suddenly stripped that. I certainly needed encouragement, which was through the doctor I was seeing at the time for him, in the sense that if he didn't eat for 3 days, he wasn't going to die. And he didn't eat for 3 days because he did not want to eat what was put in front of him. And he had tantrums like I've never seen. And they were tough, tough days. And I've got to say this, it's a minimum of 3 weeks of absolute hell transitioning from a mainstream diet to this very controlled, limited diet. It wasn't limited in what he had available to him. It was just limited in what you could just buy. You certainly couldn't buy things off the shelf. What kept me going? Determination. I'm going to say that tennis background came through again. It was like I was determined to win. I really believed I could get him there. The doctor believed that we could get him there, that we could help him. And you did start seeing differences. And I'd love to say that you're done within a year and his behavior's all better, which it certainly improved within a year dramatically. But even today, if he goes too far off for too long, he'll have different behavioral issues come through. So recently he'd been showing extreme signs of OCD, which I didn't realize was something else that then comes into play as they get older and as his hormones are kicking in as a teenager. And there were different behavioral issues showing. And we realized we'd laxed off a bit on his diet. He was hanging out with his mates more and not being as strict. But what's fabulous now is that he comes home and goes, I need some broth. And he's eating us out of all our profits. He loves it. He just drinks it and drinks it and drinks it. But I'm also going to say broth isn't the solution. It is a big picture. It's not just one thing. Broth contributes to his health and absolutely helps him. But that's not, I would never in my wildest dreams walk out there and say, oh, drink bone broth, you'll be better. There's a big picture, and broth will help you along the way, but it is not the one-stop fix. It's not the magic pill either. There is no magic pill. It's a big picture.
How did his twin cope with this? Was he also on the same diet? Did you make sure that all of you were following this protocol?
Yep, all in. Look, he struggled as well, and he had different behavioural problems and different gut bacteria issues. He just craved carbs. Callum just wanted carbs, 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 carbs. And we had to pull all carbs from him. So he could only, and the only meat he wanted to eat was a sausage. So for about a week, he ate nothing but sausages. He wouldn't touch his vegetables. He wouldn't touch anything else. That's okay. He is being presented with the same food until he is hungry enough to actually eat it. And it's amazing now. He'll go for broccoli first. He just loves his vegetables now. He loves everything else that comes with it. And my Lord, as 14-year-old growing boys, they can eat a kilo of mince in one meal. So you do come out the other side. Now I kind of wish he was carb boy. It'd be a lot cheaper.
It's so fascinating, isn't it? But the thing that I want to reiterate here, and why I was so keen to share your story, is it's so freaking hard to change protocols, diets, rituals, all of these things. That the effort and the tenacity and the determination, as you said, requires massive amounts of patience, I would imagine. For the mums and dads out there who may be in the similar position to where you were 9, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, what would be your biggest piece of advice to anyone looking at their child, knowing that maybe a drug or medication isn't the root cause fix of this? What would you say to someone that's in the middle of this right now?
Look, there are definitely days you're going to be on the floor and just giving up and crying and rocking with your child. There were plenty of nights when I was in there when he was losing it, and I'd literally have my arms around him and we'd just be sitting there rocking together for like 2 hours. I'm not sure if it was for him or for me, to be honest. I think it was mutual. Those days will happen, but the long run is so worth it. Where I am now is so worth all the heartache, all the pain, all the frustrations that we went through. Absolutely worth it. To see him today just so happy, enjoying life, non-medicated, bucking the system that wanted to put him in a box, it's just fabulous. He doesn't know there's anything going on, whereas I think a lot of kids today are put in a box and they're labelled and then they believe that's what they are and they grow up thinking that's what they are. And I think it's just fabulous to watch this child be free. It's worth it. It's just nut it out. It is worth it. You will get there. There is another side. But like I said, there are still moments where it goes backwards a little bit, but never as severe as when you first start. First year is tough.
Yeah. And I remember, and you mentioned it at the beginning here, talking about the GAPS protocol. Could you just explain that a little bit? Because that's really quite a big game changer, I've noticed, for a lot of families. Is that something that you would recommend to try, or do you think it's still important to go with a holistic integrated medical doctor as well?
For me personally, it was definitely worth going with the integrative doctor. As much research as I did, as much as I looked into everything, it's an incredibly strict protocol, the GAPS protocol, and it is very hard to follow. Depending. I mean, I personally hate stewed meat. I hate it. I'd rather not eat. So it was extremely difficult for me as well. And I've done plenty of elimination diets and different things along the way. I just wanted the guidance of someone who this is all they do day in, day out, is specialized. The doctor that I saw that I was lucky enough to find, she specializes in children with these problems and with these issues. So her guidance actually was a little more flexible. It had some wiggle room. It was very strict first up, but as you progressed, it gave a lot more wiggle room. It's definitely worth pursuing the GAPS protocol if you feel you can cope with it. At the time, I did not believe I could cope with it to the end. We didn't see it through, right through the end. And I hate saying that because I'm not a quitter. But we didn't make it. We didn't see it all the way through. just wasn't for us. And that's okay. It's okay to try these things and decide that it's not okay for your family and not beat yourself up about it too, because there will be something for you that does work. And it is hard searching for the thing that does work for you, but when you find it, you know it. You just know it.
Yeah, I think that's what's so extraordinary, isn't it? It's not one thing fits everybody. When you look back now, and here you are now running this business, do you have a lot of people buying your broth for these reasons? Have you noticed there's an influx in issues around gut health? Like, what's your thoughts around the whole gut health industry? Is it a fad, or in your humble opinion, do we really have a problem?
Oh, we really have a problem. Definitely we have a problem. A lot of people come to me with, they don't say they have a gut issue, they'll have arthritis or they'll have IBS, which, yes, is a gut issue, but they tend to have something that's been diagnosed, which when you research it, goes back to the gut. It all seems to go back to the gut. And as many would know, bone broth, it acts like a SPAC filler. So if you think of your gut lining similar to a fly screen, and it's keeping the bad stuff out and the good stuff in, but we'll get a hole eventually. So then all the flies are coming in. So the bad stuff's coming in. And the bone broth with the gelatin acts like a SPAC filler and patches up that hole. But we still need to find what created the hole in the first place. So that's why I say bone broth will help you, but it's not the fix. It's a temporary fix, because if you keep doing what was causing that problem in the first place, there's going to be another hole somewhere else and another hole somewhere else. And eventually you end up with some sort of autoimmune disease or another ailment that has initiated from the gut.
Yeah. They reckon that we've only scratching the surface of information around the gut. And every year we get more incredible knowledge, medical science, proof, and all of these different things. What's your thoughts then around the gut being the brain or the first brain or linked to the brain? I'd really love to hear your thoughts around that.
I absolutely wholeheartedly believe it is responsible for the majority of ailments that we're seeing. If you look at what we are putting into our bodies today, even from when I was growing up, they're just the supermarkets didn't have this many chemicals around. We weren't exposed to this much man-made rubbish. I still can't understand why it's cheaper to buy something that's been produced in a laboratory than it is to just get an apple off a tree. So I really do think we're disrupting our entire system, and our bodies don't know how to cope with it. And the gut obviously is the area that we do eliminate things. And this is where it's being put under a ridiculous amount of pressure and strain, and it's not coping. And this is becoming evident in, we might be living longer, but geez, we're living sicker. You know, it's hard to find someone that hasn't got some sort of ailment, no matter how healthy they try to be or what kind of lifestyle they're trying to live. I think everybody's got something going on that is stopping them living the best life they possibly could. And I do believe there's a lot of problems in the gut at the bottom cause of this, and we are definitely only just touching on it. You know, I'm not a scientist and I'm not a doctor. It's only my research of papers and my experience in life and my experience with our customers. Some of the stories we hear, you know, I've got some that are swearing by broth that has really helped them through cancer. And I'm never going to say, go and drink some broth. I've got the cure to cancer. But I've got some that are just saying it's changed my white cell counts. If I don't drink broth, it's been shown I stopped for a month and my cell counts were incorrect. I resumed the broth and I improved dramatically. So that I'd love to see more studies on this kind of I'd love to see more studies on the gut health and the benefits of what will happen with different supplements or different things like broth and gelatin and what can be done and with cultures and so on.
You mentioned broth isn't the answer for everything, and it's a whole multifaceted approach to health and healing. What other things would you say to parents out there to think about before taking on a diagnosis or medication as the only answer?
We changed our entire environment. So soaps, clothing, any external chemicals were removed. Our garden, we completely changed and made it a completely edible garden. There were certain aromas that could send him off, sounds. loud noises, stress. Yes, a two-year-old does have stress. And don't think for a second they don't pick up on us and our stress and our emotions. And we live in an incredibly stressful society where most of us are running on empty or peeking out. It's same with animals and dogs. They pick up on our behavior and our levels and they behave accordingly. So a child can often be acting out or displaying heightened emotions due to the way you are behaving and your emotional state at that point in time, while they're too young to know how to regulate.
That's a tough one, isn't it? Because when we're so stressed and we try and hide it, but I've even noticed even trying to hide it energetically, you still portray it to these little creatures. How do you manage yourself? What do you do? What have you done to manage your emotions, to manage your health and well-being through this whole journey?
Lots and lots and lots of different things. Of course, I love essential oils. I wasn't thrilled about having to talk today, so I've got some special ones on today that keep me calm. Not instant calm, but something else. You've seen the wonderful benefits instant calm had on my children. It wasn't calming. They were hyper. They are far better with peace and meditation. For me, music is a massive stimulant and relaxant, and it can change my mood dramatically, and that's both listening to it and playing it. As a teenager, I used to play a lot of piano to release emotions when I was that young, angsty, I don't know what I'm doing teenager. And today it's more drums. I have a drum kit that I bash frequently. And then I have my drums that bring me in. So I've got African drums, dunduns, djembe. I've also got American medicine drums. I meditate, comes and goes. Some days it's fabulous. Other times I'll think, I don't like this. I'm just sitting here. I'm not getting anywhere. And then I'll leave it away for a month and then go, I really have to get back to meditation. Force yourself back in. I can even go, I have to go meditate. You can have that grr about it and still feel the benefits. They're probably the main things for me. I'm slowly starting to get into a little bit of art, a little bit of painting. I play with creativity. And the biggest one, if I'm really heightened and I'm really struggling, nature. It's just barefoot, get me out in the bush. I'll go camping, and I'm talking not hiking camping. I can leave that to Bear Grylls over there. I prefer to have, you know, a tent and somewhere to cook that's not on the ground. But absolutely surround myself in earth elements, and I'm happy.
Well, Broth of Life is certainly living up to that. Where you guys have moved to, you've actually purpose-built your whole facility where you are, which is in the middle of nature. I'm going to ask you a woohoo question because I know I can go here with you.
Yes.
Do you think energetically, vibrationally, that where you're making your beautiful broths now, you're not in the middle of suburbia, you are out in nature creating this? In your humble opinion, does that make a difference?
Absolutely. Definitely. If you're in a bad mood, you're not allowed to walk into the kitchen. And that's for our team as well. It's not just for myself and Heather. It is absolutely a rule. If you're in a bad mood, you are not allowed to walk in there. And that's taking on some Ayurvedic principles. I really do take bits from everywhere. I'm a bitzer. The Ayurvedic principles is your energy definitely transfers into the food. So if there's a bad energy while we're making a broth, I don't want that transferring across to someone who's wanting that end product for healing purposes. There's certainly plenty of music playing in there. We've always got upbeat music going while we're brothing away. A lot of the tasks are very monotonous and repetitive and boring, and it's very easy to disappear down a negative rabbit hole while you're silent and working. So we make sure we try and keep everything upbeat and happy and laugh as much as we can. And we often sing to the broth.
I'd say this is where I wanted people to hear this. when we buy a product, I mean, when I tell people I play music to my oils 24/7, both in both facilities, people are like, what? But I think it's the X factor, and that's what's made Broth of Life so incredibly powerful. Of course, it's not the only thing, but I do believe, and I wanted people to hear just how much effort goes on in the background with this beautiful company. Have you ever reached a point in business like you did with tennis injuries took you out? Have you ever had a crisis point with Broth of Life or in any business situation and gone, what the hell? And if so, how the heck did you get through that?
Oh, there's been many. I once saw a graph that showed what it's like being a business owner, and it is up, down, up, down, up, down, going, yay, so glad I did it. What the hell am I doing? This is fabulous. I need to get rid of this. I love this job. I want to kill myself. And it truly is that. It is so erratic. You can't predict what customers are going to do or force them to purchase or change pricing. I mean, we've struggled recently substantially. Our electricity bill has tripled. And the one that's silent that no one talks about is our gas bill has quadrupled in 12 months. And as you can imagine, with a facility with freezer, fridge, and gas cookers going 24/7, it's really had an impact. But we obviously don't want to put our prices up. So it's been a really tight juggle at the moment. And I'm thinking, I think one of the boys even said to me, we're in the swimming pool, and one of the boys even said to me, well, you're working so hard lately, Mum. Why don't you just like leave Broth of Life and get another job? Would that pay us more money? Would we be going better? I said, probably. At this point in time, we probably would, but my heart and soul wouldn't be in it. There'd be no flexibility when I want to see you, you know, after school, or if you require me because they recently caught the wrong bus and end up at the wrong place, and you get that 9:30 a.m. call going, Mom, I'm at the wrong school. Yeah, okay. Let me just drop everything. How to get out of it is just, I stop for a day. I actually shut shop for a day, and I sit with myself in a place of silence and calm and really assess in the heart center, why am I doing this? And I think I genuinely just want to help people. I want people to experience what I experienced with Jasper. I want people to succeed. I want people to feel the benefits of health. I want them to turn their lives around. And the success stories we get, I'll reread some of them. I've now taken to printing them out and putting them on the door. So when we walk in the business, we read someone's beautiful words or testimony to us. So you walk in feeling good about what you're doing, and it really helps you on the tough days when things go wrong, when the freezer breaks down, you lose all the product that you've worked hard on, or, you know, there's lots that can go wrong that people don't realize. And those positive words from our customers do wonders to lift us. Really do. People don't realize. They think, oh, it's just a positive review to help them sell more. It's not that. It helps us keep going when things are really tough. But from the heart space, it's what I want to do.
Do you think personally you were always born, this is a tennis pun, to serve, were you always born to actually make a difference? Do you think, or is that something that evolved? I'd just love to get to the heart of who you are.
I struggle with taking on the idea that I'm here to make a difference, or that anyone is here to make a difference. I can't help it. I feel like that's from a place of ego. But then in the same sentence, saying I want to help people is making a difference. I don't believe I come from the place of wanting to make a difference or trying to make a difference to the world or the place we live. It is just me. It makes me happy to be helping others. So I don't want to make a difference. It's actually making me happy.
Yeah. I think that's the driver for most of us in business, right? Like, it gives us a spring in our step, no matter what the troubles or challenges that we face. Can we move into relationships? For you, you work with your wife, you live with your wife. Can you tell us how, as a couple, you guys manage that so beautifully?
It's fun. Honestly, it's fun. We laugh a lot. There's not too often where we actually say, right, I need some space. But it truly comes down to communication. We have very distinct lines. There's a point, as a business owner and anyone out there that is, your brain never really switches off from the business. So it can be frustrating when 9 o'clock at night you're sitting down after dinner having a chat and suddenly something about the business pops into your head and you decide it's a good time to talk about it. So there needs to be the communication to say, I don't want to talk about Broth of Life right now. We are a couple now and we don't want to talk about that right now. And you go, yep, set that boundary, write it down, we'll talk about it tomorrow. But then there are other times we go, yeah, and we're off and we're creating a whole new recipe and a whole new product line and we're really excited. So it can be very advantageous in the sense that you get to explore avenues when you're actually in the mood and when you're in the right headspace. But there are certainly times that we have to check in and go, we're still partners, you're still my wife, we're still lovers. This isn't just, we're not friends and this isn't just a business, right? Right, yep, good, checking in, making sure. So we need to make sure we really set aside time to respect our relationship and spend time together as a couple, completely separate from the business, because having the business on site also doesn't help because you don't get in the car and drive away. You go, oh, I'll just go over there and 3 hours later you come back. It's not so good. But we can go away together, just the two of us, as much as we can for one or two nights, just camping.
I was going to say that. I was going to say that to you because that's one of the things I love on your posts is seeing when you guys are actually away under the stars or looking out over water or just looking out the back of your van. Is that for something both of you crave? And is there a certain amount of time, like is it within weeks or months you have to get out there and do that to reset?
Absolutely, we crave it and we do both crave it. And it's so, so fabulous to be with someone that reconnects to life in the same way, that wants to be in nature that much and be barefoot and looking at the suns and discussing, are there aliens out there? What life? Yeah, we have the most ridiculous conversations. It's fabulous. And look, we probably, if we haven't gone away for at least two nights in every 2 months, I think we start getting antsy. And you know, life doesn't always allow that to happen. And we always, another great thing of being a business owner, we try and do it midweek when it's not crowded. So, and we do use hip camp a lot. So we can go somewhere that there's no one else. It's just us at the entire place. But we also love exploring. So usually if we manage to get a whole week away, we don't have a plan. We've got a direction and maybe some natural things that we want to see and aim for, but we never have any accommodation book. We've got nothing planned. We completely wing it and just love it that way. Wouldn't have it any other way.
It's almost like a balance, isn't it? Because business is so strategic and planned and you know exactly how many mills you've got to do, how many bones you need and all of this. And it's almost like you guys are giving yourselves the opportunity to rebalance, to come back to home base, really, for you two. Absolutely. I also know that you guys, especially you, I know, has a real love of learning. When did all the things around medicine, as in drum medicine and using music and other forms or modalities, when did that start to really step in for you and become such a crucial part of your well-being?
Ironically, it was the minute I moved to the Sunshine Coast. I found a little djembe drumming group that I just started doing out of interest up here, and I went, oh, I'm really liking this. It's quite, I thought it was more just, you know, you bang a drum, you let a bit out, but it's actually really trippy. You disappear off and I can see you go into a trance and I can see how it's very much part of an African culture. And you choose, I suppose, either if you dance, if you like the body movement as a release, there's plenty of people dancing in a trance, or you're playing and you're in a trance, but you're somehow grinning and smiling and present at the same time. And I went through a challenging time in separation from my previous relationship. And that is where I found Native American medicine and shamanic culture and really dove into that. And I went on a 12-month mentorship one-on-one, which was very intense and very cathartic and just phenomenal, and will always be very, very precious to me. I let go of so much. I learnt so much. And I think that is where I truly found myself. I found my self-love, reconnected with who I was. And it's a very unique spiritual experience for anyone that goes down that path. Very intense, very challenging, very frightening, and the highest of any high I have ever experienced in my life. It's everything.
I just want to take my hat off to you. That was an incredibly tough time for all of you and as a family. And I just have so much respect for how you traversed your way through that. Many people would give up. Many people would go into the depths of despair, maybe end up with, you know, heading into anxiety and depression, and perhaps even creating some very emotionally charged physical problems and ill health. You had a different approach, and but it took work. What I'd love you to share is how, once again, through another challenge like this, did you stay on course and true to you when the easiest thing we can all do is to give up?
I don't know that it was a choice. You fix it or you drown. And fixing it's not the right word either. It was a 20-year relationship, so it's not something that was light. And I think somewhere along the way, I no longer knew who I was. I'd lost myself in a relationship. I'd lost myself in the children. I'd lost myself in their health and being everything to everyone else, but nothing to myself. And each day I woke up and didn't know what to do, who I was, and just sort of crumbled. Every day was incredibly challenging. I woke up crying and I couldn't seem to stop it. And it'd be like, well, what thought happened first thing in the morning that set you off? And there was no thought. I just woke up empty. And certainly there were calls to all kinds of different institutions for help. There were calls to friends for help. There was a lot of digging, trying to work out who was going to pull me out of this. No one's going to pull you out of it except yourself. And some of us work that out quickly. Some of us don't work it out quickly. I did a lot of work with a counselor as well, as the shamanic work. They complemented each other quite well. It was tough, absolutely. I'd say it's the toughest thing I've had in my entire life. But at the same time, the most rewarding thing I've had in my entire life, because I came out the other side almost a different person. I came out the person I was before I was sculpted into the person I was told to be. And that's even the pre-tennis person. It's everything that I was raised and became probably wasn't me wholeheartedly. Whereas now I'm unashamedly, wholeheartedly just me. And if you don't like it, I'm sad you don't like it. I don't have the you don't like it, you can get But if you don't like it, well, you're not meant to be near me. That's okay. You can go your way. I'm going this way. And it's so calming and peaceful and lovely in that space. Still get challenged by it every other day, but it's there's no greater feeling than just being yourself, and doors open that you never expected.
Because of that?
Yes, because of that.
Yeah. So are you saying when you come home to you, there is another whole world of opportunity? There's another whole world you see, yeah?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. This is like what you've done with the work that you did and the effort you put in with counseling. I know we had some very beautiful, deep conversations through all of these times, and some of them were damn hard. And it's really challenging for people that love you, when you love a friend, to see them in so much pain. Was there ever any times that anyone or anything happened that kind of bolted you into, maybe out of feeling sorry for yourself, into, I got this, I can do this? Was there any kind of defining moments for you that made you go, actually, I bloody have got this?
There was no one sentence anyone said. As I said, I don't think it came externally. I don't know that I woke up one morning and said, that's it, I'm sick of this. I don't think it even happened that way. I woke up one morning and I think it just felt a little tiny bit better. I went, oh, I'll grab onto that. What have I been doing that got me feeling that tiny little itty bit better? I didn't cry this morning. What's different? What changed? And it might only be that I was better for 1 hour of the day, but But that little bit better, 1 hour. Oh, geez, that's a relief. So what did I do? And they were, it was a repetition of what happened in that moment. I think the one quote that really stood out to me was to stop being on the other person's path and be on your path. So no matter how lonely it felt or how scary it felt, if I stepped sideways back on to the other path, all kinds of emotions started and the stress started and the anxiety started and the brain went bzzz. But if I went back onto my path, it was quieter. It was scary, but it was quiet. And that felt nice as a break from the brain constantly looping and telling stories and replaying and making things up and escalating things out of proportion. So even though initially I could only get on my own path for maybe an hour a day, it then became 2 hours a day. It then became to the point where you're on your path a bit more and you go, oh, I just stepped over to that path, come back. And it became really obvious when you'd stepped into the wrong path. So I literally remembered the Robert Frost poem, two paths diverged in a yellow wood, and be one traveller long I stood and looked down one as far as I could until it bent in the undergrowth. And I visually can see those two paths. And I know one belongs to someone else and one belongs to me. And it might be easier to take the other one because it's already been walked a bit and it's a bit more trampled than someone by your side. But that's not the right path. The other one is the one that draws you, that is where you are supposed to go. That's your path. Stick to your path.
So powerful and so beautiful and so poignant. What would be your definition of self-love? All of these things you're talking about are an act of kindness to self. It is an opportunity for self-love, even in our darkest moments. What is your definition of that?
Look, I'll be the first to admit I'm a people pleaser. So self-love was something I really struggled with my whole life. My self-love started out as being based on winning or losing a tennis match. And then it progressed to the behavior of my children. But through all that self-discovery, it really came down to being true to who I am and dropping all the facades of what I think other people want me to be, and doing so that to myself with kindness, that it's okay to just be yourself and not everyone is going to like it. You can show your true emotions, the good ones and the bad ones, which can make you very vulnerable. It can mean you have to really face pain properly, face on, and it's brave. It's not brave to hide everything in and hold it in, which is how I was raised. It's brave to actually show your true self and where you are and just be who you really are, because we all know deep down who we really are, and it's scary to show that.
And do you think a part of the fear of doing that is by being a people pleaser, letting people down or not being liked? How have you stepped into not caring what other people, it's not that you don't care, I know you do, but it's about not being worried by what other people think, say or feel.
I think it's more an awareness. So I'm aware now when I've done it. I absolutely still care what people think, feel. You still want to be liked. I don't know anyone that doesn't want to be liked, maybe Donald Trump, but it's a popularity contest even there. I think it's just being aware of when it's happening and accepting it. I don't like everyone, so why would everyone like me? You know, just accept that that's the way it is, make peace with it inside, let the person go or let the situation go. And you may need to grieve about that. Even when it's just an acquaintance, you think, oh, I'd like to be better friends with them. But, you know, you realize you're not being true to yourself while you're trying to attract their energy towards you. Let it go. Let them be who they want to be. You be who you want to be. And if it crosses paths, then great. And if it doesn't, it was never meant to. Cut the string. And I think I did a lot of that in the shamanic work as well, where we went deep into a journey and you'd see someone that you've got a tie with that for some reason you keep being drawn to and keep being drawn back to, but you know somehow they're not good for you. You know somehow you're not quite yourself, but you still just want to be around that person all the time. Deep in a journey, see an umbilical cord between the two of you even and cut the tie. wail, scream, release, let it go.
This is just some of the most beautiful conversations that I'm sure every single one of us listening to this can relate to wholeheartedly. One other thing that you did for yourself through your journey of healing is you bought yourself a dog that you had always wanted.
Yes.
Was that also, and I don't want to say that that was a pivotal moment, but to me from the outside looking in was almost from my point of view, watching you go, I'm ready to love again. I'm ready to let love in again. Tell us a little bit about your beautiful dog, because it's more like a bear than it is a dog. But was that symbolic, or am I just mind reading?
No, it was symbolic. I grew up with a St. Bernard called Moose, who unfortunately passed at the age of 4. And I was roughly 9 years old. But we never got another dog. Mum said no. Understandably, Mum looked after the dog. Mum cleaned up the poo. Mum cleaned up the slobber. And Mum cleaned up the fur. Dad and I wanted the dog. So I actually understand where she was coming from now that I'm a mum. I have literally brought another child into our family by bringing this dog in. But in my previous relationship, it was also a no. And I'm thinking, why was I asking for permission? All my life, I've asked for permission for things that might really make me happy or something that I really deeply desire. So for me, it was I gave myself permission to have this dog. And I was with Heather at the time, and I did, of course, bringing a dog into a family, you do need to have a discussion. And her answer was, why would I prevent you bringing something into your family that you so desire? But then it was incredible. The minute I had permission from someone else, I struggled to give myself permission, and I had to go do work on that. And, yeah, she is an incredible dog. It's definitely her first time around the sun. She is the dopiest animal. But the love and the bond I have with that dog, I have not had with any other. I love animals. I've always had animals around me my whole life, cats, dogs, chickens, anything, you name it. But she is phenomenal. She's in a lot of trouble last night because she broke the gate. She is a 60-kilo beast, and she was scared of the rain on the tin roof. So she broke the gate to get down to us at the Broth of Life shed. So she's in a bit of trouble at the moment. She's not feeling the love right now. But, yes, she was part of my reconciliation and, like, the last step to go, I actually can give myself permission for things that I think will make me happy.
So beautiful. Just share, it's not Moose, but what's her name?
Mushka.
Mushka. I just love it.
Cute little thing in Russian.
Cute little thing. She's not little, but yes, okay. She is so freaking cute, this dog. I just love her. You know, one thing that you and Heather bring to life so beautifully is fun, a good sense of humor. You're both nuts. You're both crazy. You're both passionate. You're both incredible hard workers, and you both give a lot to your friends, to your family, and to your business. Your wedding was one of the most beautiful weddings, and we had that on your lawn. You guys worked so hard to make that lawn perfect, and it was beyond perfect. We even had kangaroos in the background. It was so idyllic. We had amazing music. We did a little ceremony, the three of us, before I had the privilege of marrying you. But what I want people to know is, could you explain to us why this had such a Star Wars theme?
Look, I've always loved Star Wars, and I couldn't believe I met someone that loved Star Wars as much as me. She couldn't believe she'd met someone that loved Star Wars as much as her, and her mother just hangs her head in shame. But there was conversations where Heather went, I'm hopeless with dates. I'm always going to be hopeless with dates. How am I ever going to remember which date we choose for our wedding? I said, well, pick something that we're both passionate about. And we started throwing around dates, and I went, and we knew we needed it to be in sort of the colder months because we both like feeling cold. We hate the heat. Don't know why we live here. But we went, May the 4th be with you. It's Star Wars Day. We won't forget Star Wars Day. And then we played with the idea, well, can we have like a mild Star Wars theme? We don't want to be tacky. We're not getting dressed up. but can we like have Star Wars? Oh, then we ran with it. Then it was on. It was a Star Wars wedding, sort of, mostly, kind of.
Best day. It was the best day. And I had such fun writing the service because I don't know if I went, I hope I didn't go tacky, but there were parts of it that I went, I can't not follow this theme through. And your boys came up to me afterwards going, that was so Star Wars. That was so good. Did you know all about this? I thought, you have no idea how much research I put into this, but May 4th is a very special day for me. Every wedding I do, it's always someone I know. I never marry people I don't know. But I just want you both to know what a privilege it was to have known you through the journey, the highs and lows of life, but to see you so happy and to see Heather shining so amazingly that you found one another. And that now you're growing your family, your business, beautiful Mushka, your cat, your everything that you guys do is just very symbolic. I just wanted people to know in the background for Broth of Life. If people wanted to be a part of the journey or maybe heal or they've really fallen in love with your story and they want to get in touch with you, what's the best way people can get their beautiful broth and how can they actually make contact with you if they need your advice and support?
Look, the website is the best way to find us, which is www.worldwideweb.brothoflife.com.au. But you can certainly reach me by email with any questions, any details that you need to know, with Alison, with one L, Alison, at brothoflife.com.au. And we're excited to really be now thoroughly launching our pet range as well. So we've worked with some vets and we've specifically formulated a completely different broth that is designed for your dogs and cats. And it's still certified organic and it is human grade, but it is not very pleasant at all to the human palate. It is designed for our furry friends, not for us. So its nutrient density is promoting their health, not ours. So if you want broth for yourself, please don't buy the pet broth.
You won't die, but it won't taste nice.
No.
But I just, this is phenomenal. Most people will spend money on their kids or their pets. So yeah. We have healings now for the kids and the pets in Broth of Life, as in through the beautiful broth that you make. Could you just tell us a little bit about the products that you have for humans, just so that we get an idea? It's not just one product you have in the range. Could you talk to us a little bit about what Broth of Life has?
Well, we started with the standard broth, which has your typical vegetables like your onions, your carrots, your celery, salt and pepper and garlic. And it is a very mild flavour. We have kept the sodium low because there's a lot of people with sodium issues. And it is extremely mild, the dehydrated broth. If someone wants something with a bit more flavour, a bit more mainstream, then we have a freeze-dried broth. And it also has tamari in it, so it's no good for anyone with soy issues. And it does have nutritional yeast in it, both organic. And the freeze-drying process just brings out a fuller flavour and a full dissolvability. So it's a very different tasting product. The dehydrated broth you could use in its solid state. I sprinkle it on meat and veggies when I'm serving up because I don't want to drink a hot drink in Queensland. But that way, just one teaspoon a day, you could eat it straight off the spoon. That way, one teaspoon a day, it's so easy just to put one teaspoon into anything you're cooking rather than thinking you have to add boiling water and drink it. That's where I love the dehydrated and the flexibility. But we also cater for those with a FODMAP-friendly diet where they can't have the onion and the garlic and the celery or pepper. So that's just got the carrots. And then we've got real plain Jane, naked broth, and it literally is bones and water. And apple cider vinegar. And the apple cider vinegar is to extract the nutrients from the bone. So they soak in the apple cider vinegar first. And look, I'm the first one to say it is very bland, the naked. But if you are doing, for example, Cindy's protocol, or if you're following a really strict elimination diet, that's the one to go on. We've now released meat rubs. We're trying to help people get broth any way they can. Bone broth is the number one ingredient in these meat rubs. You would not know when you eat it. It's a whole bunch of herbs and spices We've kept sugar low. The lamb rub has no sugar at all in it. And you just put a teaspoon, sprinkle it over your meat, pat it in, grill it up. Mm, yum. It's so delicious. I can't eat lamb without it now. And we're going to really start developing more of that range because they've been really popular. We're loving the flavor it's adding to meals. Chicken salt, that's always a favorite. And that came from my boys desperately wanting chicken salt on sweet potato chips. And everything's bright yellow and orange and horrible colors and flavors. And this is literally just, we found the right balance with the pink salt and the chicken bone broth. And honestly, it tastes like the old school chicken salt you used to get in a fish and chip shop. Absolutely love it. And a veggie stock for all those people that don't want anything to do with meat.
Yes, yes.
But that is not a broth. You cannot use the word broth unless there are bones soaking for 24 hours.
Yes.
It's stock.
Can you tell us a little bit about these products, if we can buy them direct off brothoflife.com.au? We also know that you're in a number of health food stores, beautiful grocers and things like that. You're pretty extensive where you go. You don't just have to come online, do you?
No, a lot of local health food shops will stock the product. If they don't, ask them. On our website, you can type in your postcode and we'll show a shop near you that will stock the product. But we always suggest to call them first because they may not have the specific product you're after. That's the best way to find which shops will have us in stock.
And a really nice way, beautiful listeners, for us to help extend where we get our broth of life is to always make sure you ask locally who's got it. And that's all over Australia. So please, please, let's support these beautiful souls. They've got an amazing business. As you've just heard, extraordinary products, great education and beautiful contact point for each customer with their stories. I just want to congratulate you and Heather wholeheartedly for everything you have given to this. I know there's been break points at times. I know that you guys have been at the bottom of the bottom. I also know that you've been at the highest of the high. And we just love you. And we all think you guys are extraordinary. And thank you for persisting and staying in the game no matter what. If there was a final message and a beautiful quote that you could include to share with our listener that really does encompass your life, your story, your business, what would those final words of advice be to the beautiful listener?
I'm not even sure where I heard this, but I wrote it down and I've kept it for a long time, a little tiny piece of paper scrunched up in my wallet. If you don't know your own worth and value, no one else will. And I think I used to read that and not believe it and just go, and you sort of, I'm not a big fan of saying things over and over. You say it enough, you will believe it. That didn't personally work for me, although I'm sure it can work for many. If you don't know your own worth and value, no one else will. And I just had to keep diving and diving and diving until I really felt my own worth and value. And you can apply that to any element of your life, in a relationship, in your business, with your children, with your pets, with anything you have to offer, like even coming into something like this podcast. I had to read that over a few times going, I have some value to add and I am worthy of being here. It's something for me that's just a trigger point for me. So, yeah, that's a big one for me.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people will resonate with it. And I just want to thank you again for being in my world, for the products that you provide. They're exceptional. And I also just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for accepting this invitation, knowing that it wasn't your most favorite thing to do. But, you know, we push each other through boundaries. You've made me eat broth and now I'm making you do a podcast. So there you go. but beautiful Alison, thank you so much for being on the show. It is such a treat to hear you. And I sincerely hope everybody reaches out and supports you and your beautiful business with you and Heather.
Thank you, Kim. And thank you for all you do. Thank you for all you do for everyone out there with this podcast, with everything you offer. You're a special soul. Thank you.
I love you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Self-Love Podcast. Be sure to write a review and share the love with your friends and family. And head over and visit Kim and her team at 28.com. That's the word 20 and the number 8.com. Take good care.
This has been a production of TheWellnessCouch.com. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation on Facebook.com/TheWellnessCouch. Subscribe to each show on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. The Wellness Couch, streaming wellness into your lives.
Whilst the Wellness Couch presenter endeavor to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.